Last week, we started talking about giving. And we were talking about this verse in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. You remember that the Apostle Paul had come to the city of Miletus to meet the elders from Ephesus. And there he met them and had a long discussion with them. And one of the things that he talked about in verse 35 of Acts chapter 20 was this. He said, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's the subject that we began talking about last week. Paul wasn't necessarily talking about monetarily giving here, although that is included in what he's talking about. But he is talking about giving of ourselves, giving of who we are. And that is something that we can do more and more about each and every day. Because God really wants us to give ourselves away to others. And he wants us to give ourselves away to him as well. And why is that? Because, as we talked about last week, that's within the nature of God. God gives himself away. Why, look at all of the wonderful things that we have in this world around us. Because God is a giving God. Many of us experienced a wonderful, pleasant rain shower and thunderstorm yesterday in the middle of the summer. And look, that was a welcome relief because Thursday and Friday, the temperatures got way on up there. And I think on Thursday it was around 103 degrees. Friday was a little bit cooler because we had some clouds come in. But then yesterday it was turning out to be a scorcher as well. And here come this big thunderstorm. And from the northeast of all places, you know, to come in that way. And to really give us some good rain here in this area. And I enjoyed listening to that rain. I enjoyed listening to the thunder. And it was such a blessing, such a gift from God, you see, for that to take place here and for us to have that in this hot time of the year. And so God really is a giving God, and he wants to give. And he's the greatest giver that there is. In fact, we can't outgive God. There's no way that we can give more than God. Because he gives, and he freely gives, and he loves to give. And God wants us to share in his character in that regard. Because giving is good for us. Giving is helpful to us. Giving helps us to be who God created us to be. It helps us to fulfill the purposes that God instilled within us and gave us for living in this life. And last week, we talked about it is more blessed to give instead of receive because in giving, we put the focus on God instead of self. And we talked about what happens when we just think about self all the time and the misery that we put ourselves in. And we noted that giving is not about self and that the Pharisees thought this. And that's why they gave in the hypocritical way that they gave. But then we talked about how giving is about God and that we need to participate in God's purposes by giving. And we need to participate in his works by giving. And we give to God because he first gave to us. And I so much appreciated the good song before the Lord's Supper this morning. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed somebody to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And that's a great song to think about in the Lord's Supper. And a great song to think about in regard to giving because God first gave to us. And God gives liberally and generously, overflowingly. His giving is so far beyond what we do, and he wants us to be like him. And we talked about that in last week's lesson as well. Well, today we're going to talk about the second point to this sermon, and it is that it is more blessed to give instead of receive, because in giving, we participate in God's community and with God's people. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. In giving, we participate in God's community and with God's people. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what Jesus said. And so that's how we want to be. We want to be giving people, and we want to participate with God's community and with God's people. You know that we are social beings, and we really want to belong to something. This past week, I was reading a study, a psychological study about babies and early development, you know, early childhood development. They say that that's where everything that we do throughout the rest of our life takes place, is in that early childhood development when we're just first learning and growing and experiencing life. And this study was focusing upon the child's ability to handle relationships, okay? And specifically, different children and the way they react in regard to their mothers and the attention that their mothers give them in relationship to specifically how they react when the child is in distress or when the child is in need, okay? So basically what the study did was it did this. And these are, you know, children that are about 8 to 10 months old or something like that. They can sit up, they can walk, some of them can crawl, somewhere in there, and they're walking and crawling and things like that. And so they set up a room and had a wonderful play area where the child could play. And then the mother was told, you just go in there and you sit down, all right, in a chair. And so when they sat down on the chair, and then the child was in there, and the child was playing, and the child was doing fine, and then they sent a stranger into the room. And this was all part of the study. The stranger came into the room, somebody the child didn't know, you know. And then they gauged the reaction of the child. You know, did the child keep playing? Did the child go to the mother? What happens? And then if the child kept playing, there was a point where they asked the mother to leave the room. And then at that point, they gauged the child's reaction. You know, some of the children would continue playing. Some of the children would start crying. And then if they started crying, then the stranger was supposed to console the child. And then when the mother came back into the room, you know, either the child stopped crying and continued playing, or the child immediately went to the mother and then was consoled by the mother. And then went back to playing or something like that. And then they would do that multiple times to see how the child would react each time. Now here's what the study concluded. The study concluded that, and this is kind of counterintuitive in a way, all right? The study concluded that the children who felt the emotional detachment and would go to the mother to be consoled, who cried, and then would go to the mother to be consoled, and then would go back to playing afterwards, the study concluded that those children, when they grew up, were better able to handle adulthood and the pressures of life than the children who were kind of already used to being abandoned by their mother and who sat there and who continued to play without thinking, well, this is no big deal. Now, we say that's counterintuitive because as adults we think, well, we want that child to be independent and we want that child to be able to play by themselves and be confident. And we kind of look at that and we think, well, that's confidence in the child. But the study was saying, no, that's not what that is. That what's really happening in the child is that the child is experiencing a lack of relationship. Okay? And that this lack of relationship then in turn develops in the child to the point where when he grows up and becomes an adult, he becomes more distant and has more psychological problems than the child who feels free to cry and then to come back to be consoled by the mother. Well, that's interesting to me. But I think the most fundamental, fascinating thing about this is that it shows us that we were really created for relationships, okay? That this is what it's really about. And that this is what it ultimately means to be one of God's people, is to have these relationships. And we develop this from the earliest stages of our life. We're social beings. We want to belong to something. And when something that we feel that we belong to gets taken away from us, we become upset about that. And we want it back. And this constant going back and forth between independence is actually, what the study was saying, is actually very beneficial to the child. And that's something that needs to be developed. Now that doesn't seem like that's the way it should be to some of us, but that's what the study concluded. Now, I find this consistent with God's Word because that's what God is telling us. Now think about the interplay of our lives as we go throughout the week, right? We're constantly doing this. We're constantly leaving people and then coming back to them. We come back to here. This is a place of gathering. This is a place of coming back to, right? And we're coming back here. And then we're having these wonderful relationships, and then we're going to our respective homes, to our places. Men go to work, and then they come back home. Women go to work, and they come back home. Children go to school, and they come back home. There's this constant going and coming that we experience in our lives. And that's how we really develop throughout life. And that's kind of how our relationship with God develops as well. And because there's a constant coming and going in relationship with God in a spiritual sense is what I'm talking about. Now, God is always with us. He's always present. And He's always there. But we sometimes are not keenly aware of that as we should be. And so there's always a constant coming and going, and we're always coming back to God. And God, and what do we do when others come back to us, right? And you may say, well, what does all this have to do with giving? What is the point here? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. When others come back to us, we're supposed to give, you see. That's what the mother did when the child needed. She gave of herself. And she gave of herself, and that's healthy. That develops relationships. That helps us to mature. That helps us to grow. That's what this is about. And we come back here, and what do? We give to one another. And I'm not just talking about monetarily, even though that is included. But it's about giving to each other when we come back to one another, you see? That's what it's about. And that's what God wants. And as we do this, we develop identity. We develop who we are. And we learn more about ourselves. And God is basically saying, keep coming back to me, and I will keep giving to you so that you can learn who you are. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's a blessed thing. And so giving identifies me with God and identifies me with God's people, which are a particular kind of people, the people that God wants them to be. Now listen to what happened in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. You see, they were a giving people. They were a giving church. They didn't claim ownership of anything. And you know, the truth of the matter is that ownership is a concept that we have developed. God owns everything, okay? Let's make that clear. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so everything belongs to Him. And we're just stewards of the things that God has given us. That's really all we are, caretakers. And then we're supposed to take care of those things as God has given them to us. And so when we give, we're giving what God has already given us, and we're giving freely to others, and we're not claiming these things to be our own, but we're using them to show our identity, who we are to others. We're God's people. We're part of this great congregation of people that is the church of Jesus Christ. And we are saying, when we give, we are saying, these are my people, and I freely share my goods with them because I love them and I want to give to them. Okay, that's what's happening when we're giving. We should be thinking about those things. Do you see the church as being your people? Is that how you look at the church? We should look at the church like that. We should think about the church like that. We shouldn't be here just to get our, quote unquote, our ticket punch, so to speak. You know, as if that's just a list of things that we have to do each week. You know, well, go to church on Sunday morning and partake of the Lord's Supper and you know, be nice and quiet for the preacher, you know, so he can think we're actually listening to him, you know, that kind of thing. sing the songs, put the check in the plate, and all this list that goes on and on, right? It's not just about the list, okay? Now, we need to be obedient to God, don't get me wrong. We need to obey Him, we need to do what He says. But we do that because we love Him, and because we trust Him, and because we believe Him, and we want to put our faith in Him. But it's about being together, and being with one another, and identifying with Christ as who we really are. And that's why we give. Giving identifies me with a particular people. Giving shows that I am in fellowship with God's people. That I am in fellowship with God's people. You know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but let's expand upon it a little bit more. When we give to good works, we are participating in those works. We are engaging in fellowship with those works. The Greek word koinonia, it means more than just fellowship. Although sometimes we think about fellowship, you know, as well, we go into the back and we go out there and we sit down and we eat a meal together and we're having fellowship. Oh, that's wonderful. And that's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I love it just about as much as anybody. But there's more to fellowship than just that. That's not the extent of fellowship. Fellowship is about that, but it's about participating in the same activities with one another. It's about sharing with one another. It's about contributing to a common purpose with one another. And recognizing that we're in this together as God's people. Now we have really been hurt by our culture today because our culture in a lot of ways has tried to separate us and tried to really work on destroying our unity with one another, especially in the body of Christ. And the culture wants to draw us away and to make us something that we're really not. But God is always calling us back, and He's always here, and He's always ready to give to us. And we should be always ready to give to one another as well. And when we do this, we continue to forge the bonds and the ties that hold us together as God's people. We grow closer to each other, and we actually become what God wants us to be in that regard. When we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look at that for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because Paul talks about giving. These chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, they're all about giving. And they're about the giving of the church at Corinth. And Paul is talking about giving in these chapters because the church at Corinth wasn't doing such a hot job at it, okay? And they needed help with it. And so he's writing to them about that. Now he's going to give the example of the church of Macedonia to them as an example of what giving really is about, okay? And that's what he talks about here in verses 1 through about verse 4. Verse 5 of this chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. And the churches of Macedonia were really, really poor. I mean, these people were impoverished. They were in deep down poverty, the language of the New Testament says. But they wanted to give. They wanted to participate. They wanted to be in fellowship with all the other churches. They wanted to contribute to this great cause that was before them. And in verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now that's a wonderful thing right there. The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now first of all, it tells me that God, when we give, as God wants us to give, that God is working through us and that it's His grace that's in us that's participating in the giving, all right? And we should want that within our lives. But he says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Now they had afflictions, they had poverty, but they were joyful and they were giving. And that's the things that he's emphasizing here. Look at verse 3. He says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And now look at what he says in verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Now, Paul wasn't expecting a lot out of them. And it seems from the context that he understood that. They were in deep poverty. And he wasn't expecting them to give a whole lot of money to help the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, which is what this great collection was all about. Okay? But when they heard about the need, they said, we want to do something. We want to participate in this collection. We want to be involved in this work. And when they heard about that need, they really reached down into their pockets and they gave something. And they gave beyond what Paul was even expecting. And that's what he says in verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, that is, we had hoped they were going to give a certain amount, but they actually gave much more than that. And that's what giving is all about. It's about participating in these works together. And they desired to do that. They wanted to do that. That came from their own heart, their own will, being this kind of people that they wanted to be. And so in looking at this, we see that they wanted to be in fellowship with these other churches that were giving to this cause. And they, while they couldn't themselves go to Jerusalem and help the poor with their own hands, they could give this money, and by giving this money, they could be involved with that work and have fellowship with that work. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They saw that need, they wanted to be involved, and they gave. And they did this through their giving. And so giving shows that I am in fellowship with God's people. But then giving also, when we allow the grace of God to dwell in our lives, and that's what they did, and that's what Paul says here. We make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And when we allow the grace of God to dwell in our lives like this, it will show itself to others in our giving. It really will. What kind of character do you want to have? What kind of character do you want to have? Do you want people to look at you and say, oh, there goes that old stingy so-and-so. Why, he's so tight-fisted, even the wrinkles on his palms can't escape, you know. I mean, he just tight-fisted, right? That's not the kind of person that I think most of us want to be. I don't think we want to be characterized like that. If you look at for example, the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Christmas Carol. And look at that kind of character that he had. And we all look at that. You know, that comes around every year about Christmas time. And we see these different stories about the Scrooge character, right? And nobody wants to be like that. Nobody wants to be that guy, right? How do we want to be characterized? Why, they're the most loving person I know. They're the most generous person I know. They're the most gracious person. That's how we want to be characterized, don't we? We want to be gracious. We want to be generous. We want people to think of us like that. And God wants us to be like that. Not just to have people think of us like that, but to actually be like that. Now, the Pharisees wanted people to think of them like that, but they didn't want to be like that, okay? That's the difference between them and somebody that God wants us to be, okay? But God wants us to be generous. He wants His grace to live within us. And how do we do that? by giving to others. In fact, that's what it means to be gracious. Grace, the word grace itself, means to give freely. It means to show favor to others. It means to have a generous spirit, you know, a willingness to give of ourselves. And that's how God wants us to be, a giving, loving, kind people. The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. God showed His grace through their giving. And they were able to do this. Why? Because they first gave of themselves to God. Look at verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Now we participate in something great when we give. Because if we're giving like God wants us to give, then we've already given ourselves to Him. And then we can give to participate with the church, and we can participate in God's community and with God's people. Giving. When we give like God wants us to give, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's more blessed to give than to receive because in giving, we participate in God's community and with God's people, and you see that fulfills us. Because we all want to be part of something greater than ourselves. And that fulfills us. And it brings us to the point where we can really be the kind of people that God made us to be. And so let's give so that we can participate in God's community and with God's people. Now we got next week, we got one more lesson in this series, and we're going to talk about giving as to when we give, what we're doing is we're valuing others and we're demonstrating in our giving how much we really value ourselves, okay? Because giving is about us as much as it is about anybody. It's about God, it's about others, and it's about us, all right? And when we give, We're saying something about all of those things. And that's why giving is so important. That's why we need to be a giving people. Well, in our giving, let's put the focus on God instead of self. In our giving, let's participate in God's community and with God's people. Do you need to give yourself to God this morning? By responding to the invitation of Jesus to come to Him if you're weary and heavy laden. He says He'll give you rest. Did you hear that? Jesus says, I will give. I will give. Do you need Jesus to give to you this morning? Bring Him your sins. Bring Him the problems in your life. Bring Him your needs. Bring Him your cares and worries and concerns. Lay those down at His feet and He will give you rest. If you give to Him, He will give to you. Jesus wants you to bring all those things to Him. God wants you to bring all those things to Him so that He can help you. Because He loves you and He cares about you and He wants to give you really great things for your life. Why not obey the gospel of Jesus this morning and hearing His word and believing it, repenting of those sins? Those sins really prevent you from giving like you should. That's what sin does. Confessing Jesus as Lord and being baptized for the remission of sins and thereby giving yourself to Him wholly, completely, 100% and saying, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give to you. What a blessing it is. And when we do that, it'll be a blessing because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why not give yourself to God this morning? Whatever your need may be, you can come now while together we stand and sing.